stopped, it'll be a new one.
Thanks, Pastor Jep. Well, I'm excited to be here. Wait, questions after. Excited to be here again with you guys. And like Pastor Jep said today, what I'm talking about today has probably been the greatest truth that has changed my life the most about God. It's huge, and so I'm really excited. And I was praying a lot last night and asking that God would really reveal this to you. Like, it would kind of not just be here in your head, but it would go to your heart, you know. But I'm excited to tell you a little bit about my journey. But Angus, that's already second time. Next time you move here, okay? So let's just first pray, and then we'll kind of get into the routine. Although, actually, before we pray, reminder about the three strike rule thing, right? You guys know about that. Done it before. Hate to have to do it. We'll do it for sure, because if I can remove one person, maybe everybody else is able to get this, I'll do that for the rest. So I don't want to have to do that. Okay, obviously I want all of you to get it, but that's what we had to do. First, I guess I'll open in prayer, and then we'll recite the creed together. Hands up, by the way, all of you who think you've got the creed memorized so far. Awesome. Remember, all of you, whether you get baptized or not, are going to stand in front of the church and say the creed together, right? So make sure it's good motivation to have that memorized. All right, let's pray, and then we'll do the creed together, okay? Even right now, as we just close our eyes and we just come to God in prayer, we almost want to, like, empty ourselves of kind of what we were doing before this, and even the week, and if it's been a good week or bad week, or good day or bad day, we really want to just lay that right now before God. And so we come in prayer to do that, because we want our hearts to be open for what He wants to give us. So Heavenly Father, we come before You as Your children, and we know how much You love us, and we want You to speak to us. And right now, each of us just opens up our heart and says, come and teach me Your word, come and teach me Your truth, and change my life and impact my life, and I want to catch what You have to say. And God, we ask that You have good soil. Like you used to talk about, like, how there's like different kinds of soil, and only good soil, and when You plant Your word in that soil of our hearts, it really grows up and becomes like tons of fruit. So we commit today to You. I command any demonic distractions to go in Jesus' name. Take authority over any demonic stuff to try to hinder any truth coming. God, we welcome Your Holy Spirit and Your presence to come. We unite our hearts. And I say this in Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees with that says, amen. So be it. So, would you like to stand up, please? And I just want to hear this time. And I want to hear you guys do the creed, okay? Nice and loud, nice and clear. Oh, yeah, if you don't have a God the Father, that's the one. Okay, so you have to sort of use it as a thing now. I think I've got most of it memorized, but I haven't looked at it for a little bit. But. Here we go, ready? On the count of three.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and was resurrected to the dead. On the third day, He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From there He shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
How many of you did that? You think like the full thing, you got it all right. Well done. It actually doesn't take too long to memorize, does it? Like after a few times. And that was, by the way, why they made the creed, if you remember, was because it was easy to memorize. Like that's why they did it like this. Angus, yeah. That's right. They delivered Him to them, right? But they were kind of just saying that he was handed over, you know? If you want, it was the Jews who grabbed Jesus and delivered Him in the first place, you know, but the Romans crucified Him, so it's kind of everybody all together, you know? Yeah. So, we'll get into a few things today, okay?
we're talking about God the Father, but don't look at your notes just yet, okay? You can just look up at me. First, I want to go back because, you see, God the Father kind of ties in to what we talked about last week. How many of you remember, your hands up, what the topic was last week? Yeah, what was it? God Almighty. And what were some of the things you remember about God Almighty? Yeah?
Learning about
who he is. Okay. Just keep going. From things you remember about God Almighty from last week type thing. And some of the images or things. Yeah?
Learning about things he created. His creation.
Okay, his creation. He's all powerful, right? He made everything. What else about God Almighty? Not all at once, because then we can't hear you talk. Yeah. Do you remember the talk about the pillar of fire coming down?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember? Yeah, Angus?
I remember something about the tabernacle coming down.
Yeah. Powerful. Do you remember the, again, I don't know if you guys talked about the story last time. Remember that story where the guys tried to stop? I think it was Uzzah. Put his hand out to stop the ark from tipping over. I've never heard that story. But what happened when he struck his hand out to just try to balance it so it wouldn't tip over?
He died.
God struck him dead. Yeah, so we're looking at almost like the contrast, the difference between this holy, awesome, powerful God, and now talking about God the Father, which kind of has like almost like a different sense. So we're going to get to that. Now, first, before we do that, let's go to our house page. So remember this, early church was the soil, I believe was the foundation where you build the house on. God the Creator is the architect. He's the one who designs the whole project. That's what God looks like, okay? If you ever want to know what God looks like, that's exactly...
No.
No. Yeah.
I didn't get the architect or designer.
Okay, you can fill it in after, okay? But I want to make sure we catch today. So God Almighty was the fireplace. So he represents the God who we treat with special respect. Did you guys talk last week about like the fear of God?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course. You know, here's this God who's gonna like... Moses said, "I want to see you," and God says, "You can't see me. If you saw me, you'd die." So he kind of like hid it. So he kind of get close. But he could. If you see me, you're gonna die. You're gonna burn right up. Like he's that awesome and unapproachable. And if you were like me, you can fill in here. Okay. God the Father is going to be our roof, okay? You fill it in. God the Father is like the roof now, okay? So you can write that in. And just a heads up today, I'll probably go a little bit back and forth between the notes, a little bit of talking, a little bit of notes, and so it'll just kind of go back and forth a little bit, okay? So just roll with it. Do it together. By the way, does everybody say thank you to everybody who brought the treats and stuff?
Thank you.
So you did, but if you didn't... So God the Father is the roof. It represents that God that covers us and protects us. What a beautiful roof. What a beautiful triangle. Yeah, question.
There's only a space for covers or protects.
Okay, fill it in just so you see it like that. Just change it however you're gonna change it to make it look like that. He represents the God that covers us and protects us.
It only shows two spaces on this, not three.
Yeah, like I said, just make it look like that. Whatever you gotta do, make it look like that.
What about the walls?
Yeah, I know. Remember,
if
you remember, Jeb talked about, we're kind of using analogies here that kind of represent different parts of the house, but it's not the exact way you build it, okay? So a lot of this stuff we're talking about even today... Oh, sorry, don't speak on that. A lot of the stuff we're talking about today almost like dips ahead. It dips back to stuff we've talked about before. So it's really hard to talk about this in a perfect sequence. So we're just kind of talking about all the important things, okay? Okay. So now... Everybody got that? Okay. Got your roof. So we're about to go into this. Here. You can fill in that first little thing. You go back to God the Father. And we won't turn to this verse right now. We're just going to write it down, okay? So we won't turn to it in our Bible.
How
So is it in Isaiah 57, verse 15, God was talking to Isaiah, and he told him, I live in a high and holy place, but I also live with him who's contrite, which kind of means like humble and lowly in spirit. Like, just kind of like humble. They don't think too much of themselves. They understand that they're not God. He's God, I'm not. And he likes, God draws near to those kind of people. It says he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So there's this sense that God lives way up there, out there, but he also wants to be really close. Now I'd like to tell you a little bit about my story. So let me just put your pencils down for a second. I really had difficulty growing up believing that God wanted to be close to me. I grew up with a strong sense of, like, what you guys talked about last week, like a fear of God. And I feel like he is powerful and he will, like, dish out punishment when he needs to. And I almost, like, if I kind of had, like, if I had to put it as a picture of what I really thought God was like, it was like he was in heaven with, like, I don't know. I was going to say with a big stick, but that's not really a big stick. But the big stick, and he's almost like, you screw up and I'm gonna bap ya, you know? And I just kind of walked around and I felt like, if I make a mistake, if I sin, if I do the wrong thing, or if I don't do the right thing, he is quick to punish me, because that's what God does, and he makes sure that I obey, and he makes sure, you know, that kind of thing. So people, okay, question a second. So people would look at my life and they'd see my devotion, they'd see that I'm reading the Bible lots, I'm praying, I love God, I worship. And they'd say, man, you have a really good relationship with God. They'd say this phrase, like, you have a good relationship with God as a teenager. They'd say that to me, and I'd be like, I don't know. I know what you mean. You're complimenting that I've got some kind of, like, level of spiritual life that you admire. A relationship with God? Relationship? I didn't even get what that meant. Like, relationship with God? He's the master. I'm the servant, you know, like that, yeah, that part I get, but relationship with him, I didn't even really, like, understand, like, that you really could have, like, a relationship, but almost like a friendship with God. And it actually took, like, it took a long time to work out. You know, the problem was, we'll get into this in a second, or a little bit later, I think I looked at my dad, great man, but I looked at my dad, other earthly spiritual leaders in my life, and I kind of, like, thought God was like them, and I think that formed a lot of my opinion about God, as it does for every one of us. And we'll get more on that a little bit later. So what I really want to get into is, what does the Bible teach about God as Father? So, question, Judah.
Last week, my dad brought a stick of fireworks. I said if we were bad, he would hit us with that. But only the boys.
And did he just hit you after?
No.
Wait, what did he do it?
Okay. So you can start filling in this first thing here. Because I can come to you and say, oh, God is really good and a good father. But frankly, if it's not in the Bible, right, then how are you really going to know it's true? It just might be sound, that just might be a nice thing. I hope that's true. But is it really true? People tell me, oh, God loves you, he's kind. Really? Like, is that really what he's like? Show it to me. Is it in Scripture? So that's what I want to really establish here today. So the Bible says it's possible to be close to God and that he wants a relationship with us. You can start filling in these two lines on your sheet. It's the theme of the Bible from beginning to end. God always has his people. Or if you'd like, I almost would say this. God has always had. And if you want to put in right here, right between the word had and is, put in the words, God has always had relationship with his people. Right in there, relationship with. God has always had relationship with his people. The very first people he created, who are they?
Adam and Eve.
Remember what it says in Genesis there? It says that Adam, that God walked with Adam in the cool of the garden. And he walked with him, just walking and talking, hanging out, right at the beginning. Hanging out with Adam. That was his desire. And when he made man, he wanted to hang out with them. And then when Adam and Eve sinned, did God banish them, or did Adam and Eve hide? Well, they actually hid. I think most of us, how many of you, when you do something wrong, okay, you did something bad, and you're like, oh no, I'm in trouble. How many of you, like, hide from your parents? Or are you like, I'm getting out of sight. If you're like me, I'm out of here. I'm like, I don't want them to see me. I gotta make sure they don't, you know? Okay, so I think what happens is when we hide, we actually almost think, yeah, they don't like me. They're gonna like, they're rejecting me and they're mad at me and they don't. But truthfully, is that really happening? Or actually, we just hiding ourselves? Because Adam and Eve, remember what happened? They hid themselves, and then what happens? God says, God comes walking. Adam, where are you, Adam? Right, remember that? So God wasn't rejecting them at all. He was still searching for them. He still wanted a relationship. But sin now created these barriers where they hide themselves because they're ashamed or they're worried about what would happen. But God's, Adam, where are you? What happened? Yeah.
My brother does that all the time, Ezra. He usually steals candy, and then he goes to hide under the girl's bed. And we're all looking for him. Or he goes to our neighbor's house, the Moskowskis, and we're like, Ezra! And once Mom was really looking for him, and he was just at the Moskowskis, and we're like, Ezra!
And is he hiding because
I wasn't doing anything bad!
So you know the instant you can't see him. One. Okay, he must be hiding, and two, he must have done something wrong. So the very fact that he's hiding already shows it off. Oh, Ezra's hiding again. He must have done something. What did he do this time?
He must have stole candy again.
Angus? Yeah. We'll get after. So, by the way, Abraham and Moses are two guys that an incredible thing is said about them in the Bible. There's one word, both no other guys in the Bible, and it says they were friends. Abraham was a friend of God. As his Moses spoke to God, like you and I could talk right now. How are you? Moses talked to God just like that. Like, Abraham and Moses are incredible to me. And of course, I think disciples and Jesus have the same relationship. But you see the sense that God really wants to be close, and he wants to have a relationship with his people. So now, but like we said with Adam and Eve, the sin separates. So, this is a very important point. Very important. The next paragraph. No other religion believes you can be friends with God. No other religion believes you can be friends. They do share a belief that God's holy. And he's awesome. A powerful meaning. And he has to be respected and feared. But if you said that God could be your friend, they'd call that blasphemy. Yeah, you know, blasphemy? It's like insulting God, in a way. Blasphemy. Along this point or from before? Okay, we'll come back to maybe later. I don't want to lose train of thought. Okay, so next phrase. Being close and intimate with God is unique to Christianity. Every other religion is built on some kind of like system of how can I do enough good things or not do enough bad things to somehow not have God do bad stuff to me, you know, basically. Like where I can be okay with God and he doesn't have to punish me or that he'll reward me. But it's not built in relationship. And if you look at other religions, like if I do all these things, I do this many prayers, and if I do this many good things, then I'll get this reward in heaven. It's nothing like relationship. It's kind of, it's almost like a job. Well, I put in my 8 hours, and so now you should get this many dollars per hour. Yeah, that gets stuck. It's not a relationship at all. But Christianity, it's all about that. Jesus talked constantly about the Father. A little bit of a note, you may want to write this down. There are some other religions, like, say, Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses, and they would talk about God as Father, but they're distortions, and they're not, you know, the true Christian faith through the last couple thousand years. And the reason they have kind of a conflict with God the Father is because they came from Christian roots. That's where that came from, okay? So now, if you were like me, in the Old Testament, there's very little talk of God as Father. Is that almost like a handful, like a few places. New Testament, tons. But Old Testament, just very few places. But it is there, and so it's good for us to see it there. Old Testament, picture of a good shepherd. So God kind of revealed himself initially almost to people in the Old Testament as their shepherd. It was like, kind of almost like foreshadowing, fathering, but just starting off with something they could understand. They were familiar with shepherds, and they knew what good ones and bad ones were like. I had the privilege one time, you can put your pencils down for a second. I had the privilege one time listening to a man who's now passed away. His name was Philip Keller. Amazing, I played stories with him. And he was a simple man, and he was old, and he knew God. Like, all his stories were like these miracles, and they were all like last week, on Tuesday. Like, it was just so amazing how close he was with God. And he actually, at one point in Africa, was a shepherd. And he wrote a whole book. A shepherd himself looks at Psalm 23. Remember that Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So listen to this. He talks about his own being a shepherd. He says this about actually someone who lived a neighboring shepherd, okay? In memory, or how about this? Let's see here. All of Psalm 23 talks about the manner in which the good shepherd, God, spares no pains for the welfare of his sheep. Okay, can I just think about this? So God, like, loves his sheep like crazy, anything for them. Little wonder that the poet David took pride in belonging to the good shepherd. Why shouldn't he? And now he talks about his own experience. In memory, I can still see one of the sheep ranches in our district, which was operated by a tenant sheep man. So he's actually not an actual owner, he's a tenant. He should never have been allowed to keep sheep. His sheep were always thin, weak, and riddled with disease or parasites. Again and again, the sheep would come and stand at the fence that bordered his own shepherd area, his grass, fields, and they would look through the wire fence, staring blankly at the green, lush pastures which his flock enjoyed, because he took care of his sheep. He made sure they had great grass to eat and took care of them. And they would just come right up to the fence. Can you imagine that? Actual sheep in another neighboring thing was just like sparse and barely any grass. And they'd come right up to the fence and look at the grass on the other side and stare at the sheep there. Had they been able to speak, I'm sure they would have said, oh, to be set free from this awful owner. This is a picture which has never left my memory. It's a picture of pathetic people the world over who have not known what it is to belong to the good shepherd and who suffer instead under sin and Satan. So here's a question for you. Or I guess you can write this down. Life is so good under the care of the good shepherd. Here's a question for you. Hands up when you've got some thoughts. What do you think a good shepherd, as opposed to a bad shepherd, would do for a sheep? Take a second to think about it. Put your hand up when you have some thoughts. I'll just give you a second to still think. What kind of things do you think a good shepherd does for a sheep? Okay, we'll just go down the line. You write down a few of these yourself. Yeah. In danger, they're going to stop the wolf or the whatever coming to attack. Yeah, we have David who's getting the bear and the lion, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to protect the sheep, yeah? What's that? Feed the sheep.
I'm going to feed the sheep and tighten them up, and then if they have super long hair, they're going to shave.
Right, so cut their hair if it gets too messy.
If the grass gets too rounded, put them into a green mush.
Oh, you know about that a bit, hey? In the book, he talks about how he'd actually purposely move his sheep to a different area so they wouldn't stay in the same place and eat it out until there's no more roots anymore. You move, give that chance, that grass chance to come back, move them again, this chance to come back, and then by the time they come back to this place, it's all green again. It's always green, always green, always green, you know? Yeah, great.
This man had 100 sheep, one more person. He left his 99 sheep behind and went to the
game. So every single sheep's important. It's like, well, I lost one, but I still got 99. You know, oh, well, 99's still good. No, he's like, no way, I'm not losing one. That's awesome. Right.
Oh, a sheep just got in.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care. I have this juicy Big Mac. Glad I'm not that sheep getting eaten.
Yeah,
he cares more. He's going to make sure the sheep are fed probably before he feeds himself. Yeah? Anyone else? Yeah. Protect them, lead them safely to places. Yep, awesome, yep.
He cares more about the sheep than himself.
Wow.
Puts the sheep before himself.
Wow, that's an amazing principle of God. He cares more about others actually than about yourself. Isn't that what Jesus did in the cross for us? Did he care more about himself or ourselves there?
Ourselves.
You bet. He gave himself up to be brutally tortured and die just for us. Like, talk about the epitome. Oh, good job. Jesus said, no one has greater love for this than he laid down his life for his friend. Right? So, in the New Testament, Jesus now takes this image of God as a shepherd, and he takes it to a whole other level. He begins to talk about God as Father. We'll look at this verse maybe later. I don't want to get into it right now. In fact, I'd like you to look up a different verse. Could you look up the verse, John chapter 14, verse 9? John 14, 9. John chapter 14, verse 9. It's not not first, second, or third, but one of the Gospels. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That one.
Jamie, Ezra, James, Mark. Get it? 14:9.
John chapter. You put your hand down. Hold that right again for a second. John chapter 14, verse 9. Are you guys getting better at finding your Bible? Finding your way around your Bible?
I can't find regular John.
Okay, so remember, not first, second, or third, but you're going to want the Gospel according to John.
Someone said it was John
13. Can I read it?
You want to read it? After everybody's there, okay?
Me next.
Everybody's there. Okay, we'll see. We'll see if there's more verses.
Can I read the one after?
John chapter 14, verse 9. So not 1 John or 2 John or 3 John, right? It's just John. Put your hands down. Anybody? Everybody got it? Okay. Everybody quiet. And go ahead and read nice and loud. John 14, 9.
Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Phil? I have been among you."
Actually, you know what? What's verse 8 start with? Yeah. Read verse 8 and then verse 9.
Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father that will be enough for us."
Okay, one second, pause there. Philip says an amazing thing. He's like, "Jesus, you've been talking about the Father this, the Father that. I only do what the Father does. I only do what the Father says. I pray to the Father. That's how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven." And Philip is like, "Just show us the Father. If you could just show us the Father, that's going to be enough. It's all I need." And then what does Jesus say?
Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? I have been among you for such a long time. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father."
Wow.
So how can you say, show us the Father?
Wow. Can you read that last little bit again? It's the last verse again.
Verse 9?
Yeah.
Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? I have been among you such a long time. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father?"
Okay, do you catch that? You know what Jesus says? You want to see the Father? How many of you want to see the Father? What God the Father looks like? Okay, you know what Jesus says?
I am.
Yeah, just look at me. I look like the Father.
No, you don't.
If you are not me. I am a father of little kids, but not God the Father.
Yeah, it's not
exactly.
Yeah, actually,
But that's what Jesus says. Is that if you look at me, Jesus says, you are looking at the Father. Question?
I
don't think the Father looks like Jesus.
Someone passed away last night. They died. Like the thanks to Jesus. So hold on. Hands down. So listen to this now. Ready? I want you to listen to a few stories. Okay? Oh, Angus? Can I get you to sit over there? Thanks. There's a spot right there. Thanks. Listen to this carefully about what Jesus did and said. And this time, instead of thinking, oh, I love Jesus. He makes me so happy. Instead, think, wow, that's what God the Father is like. That's what Jesus said, hey, Philip, you want to see the Father? Look at me. Look at what I say. Look at what I do. You've seen me. You've seen the Father. I'm the epitome. I'm the embodiment of the Father. So listen to this, remember? So John 1:14 says Jesus was full of grace and truth. Question. Full of... Oh, yeah. Although, if you hold on for this, that'd be good. If you hold it, you can. It says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. So what does that mean? God the Father is full of grace and truth. Remember when Jesus was about to die and he got down and he washed his disciples' feet because they were all dirty, he cleaned them? That's what the Father does to us. He serves us. Yeah, in different ways, right? Exactly. Remember the story about the woman who was caught in sin and everybody wanted to stone her and kill her?
Remember that? She dumped oil and just...
Yeah, it was a different one, I think. But when they caught her in the middle of sin, according to the law, she needs to die. And Jesus paused for a second and said, all right, whoever has not sinned, that person throw the first stone. And all the guys are like, right. They put down their stones one by one, they walk away. And then Jesus, where are all the people that are going to kill you? He's like, I don't know, they left. She's like, neither do I condemn you, I just go and sin no more. He forgave her, even though she was caught in the middle of sin. That's what the Father is like.
What
How about this one?
That was
caught like being with another man. She was married, but she was with her husband. Or with a different man. Instead of her husband. He's only supposed to be with just the person you married and committed to. So she was loving somebody else. Yeah. Okay, how about this one? This is cool. You know the Lord's Prayer when Jesus says, okay, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven. The word Father there is not like our God in heaven. It's actually Abba in Greek, which means daddy. So he says, pray like this. He says, our daddy in heaven. That's how Jesus prayed. So when you pray, he says, pray this. Our daddy in heaven. That's the relationship we have with his Father. How about this one? Remember Jesus would hang out with people that were sinners, tax collectors, and all the Pharisees were like, why are you hanging out with those bad people? Because Jesus wanted to help them. Right? He said people that are sick need a doctor, not the people who aren't sick. And that's what the Father is like. He doesn't, just because you made a mistake doesn't mean you're banished now. In fact, the very opposite. Oh, you look dirty. Okay. You know, like that's what the Father's like. Anyway. Okay. So that Jesus himself shows us what the Father is like. Okay, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Okay? So now, question, then I'm going to get us some kind of cool analogy. Okay, do you have a question, Jim? Okay, question? Or question? I think Abba's Greek, isn't it? Or is it Hebrew?
Abba's Greek.
I thought Abba was Greek.
They tried to enlighten her.
I think it was Greek, but I... Anyway. Yeah?
It's Latin.
Maybe it's Hebrew.
Could be Hebrew.
But whatever. It was a translation. Yeah. Sure, how about when the person comes back, okay? Alright. Now imagine this. Okay, imagine that you did something bad. I know, you're like, I'm having a hard time imagining that, Teacher Bruce. I'm like, I think one time I did something wrong, but then I found out actually I didn't. So the only thing I did wrong was that I thought I did something wrong. Okay, so imagine this. You've done this great wrong against someone. Maybe you killed them or whatever. Or you did something wrong and you now owe more money are, it's more money you could ever pay to correct the wrong, okay? You could never pay it back, even if you worked for a whole lifetime. And now because of it, you're now owned by this other person, you know, like a slave, really, because you owe your life to them and spend the rest of your life trying to pay off a debt that you can never pay off. Okay? Now, this is a bit of an analogy, kind of like what sin does. So now, check this out. This is what God is like, okay? God comes to us and goes, wow, that's a really bad position you got yourself into. You know what? I'm going to pay off your debt for you. How many of you would be pretty excited about that? Okay, so he pays off like the millions and millions or billions or whatever it is out of his own money. And suddenly now, you're like, hey, sweet, my debt is paid, you know? But then he does more than that. Technically, if I was to look up the name,
let's see, Angus Crawford. Yes, back in 2009, you did that one thing there. Now I know that that's paid.
So in other words, you're still, like, it's still on your list of, like, things that you've done, you know? So not only does the person, does God come and say, okay, I'm going to pay off your debt, but you know what? There. Now you've no longer even done anything bad. Your record is now clean. It's now you're like, hi, can I get a job working at McDonald's?
Well, sure, I'll just look at you.
And then,
looks good. You're hired.
You never can start tomorrow. Okay, so then he pays off your debt. He sets your record free. But then he realizes this guy's homeless. Like, this guy doesn't even have a place to, like, he's on the street.
He's a hobo.
And yeah, he says, come live in my house. Come into my house, and you can live and stay with my family. How's that sound? Does that sound pretty good?
Yeah.
And you really stink, so you can even have a bath. That he cleans you up. All of these words, by the way, are like justification, salvation, sanctification, all these theological terms we're describing. But anyway, and then it gets even better, one step better. He realizes, wow, you've got no parents. You're like, you didn't have like parents at all. You're on your own. You've been paying this debt forever, and you couldn't even pay it off. I paid off your debt. I've wiped your record clean, brought you to my house. I cleaned you up. And I'm going to do one more thing. Any idea what that would be?
You're
going to
be paid that you stay here?
Yeah. What does it mean if suddenly you get brought into the family and they're now your parents? Like, legally. What's the word?
You're adopted.
So God doesn't let you just live in his house like a servant. Yeah, because you know what? I want to adopt you as my child.
Wait.
That suddenly.
Like, who are you?
And that changes everything, you guys. You know why? What happens if you become someone's actual legally adopted child? What are some of the benefits that you suddenly get that you would never have had if you were just, I don't know, just living at their house? Thanks. Oh, yeah. Well, so what happens when you become adopted? What are some of the benefits you get of actually being adopted? I mean, maybe I've never thought about it in terms of what it would be like if you were adopted, but... What are some of the benefits then if you actually become someone's actual legal child? Yeah. What's that? You forgot? Okay, I'm sorry.
They're like in charge of you, you have to listen to them.
Okay, so they're in charge, you have to listen to them, but also they're now legally responsible to care for you. They actually are gonna now take care of you. Yeah. Yeah, you can hang out, have a relationship with them. You get all their money in a sense that they're now going to use their money to help you. And if you're like, I want to like become like a nurse or whatever, okay, let's help you do that. That's what a good parent does, yeah?
They buy you ice cream!
Of course, every good parent buys their kids ice cream when they're 18.
Yes, yeah. Of course.
No.
Once they're 18.
It's like
and they
five.
And they can date once they're 25? Maybe,
yeah.
Like if they do enough chores.
That's not a good rule.
I'm not very stressed.
Okay. I'm not very
Okay, how about this? If you become someone's actual child, have you heard of this word? Inheritance.
I was just going to say that.
Did you really? Oh. Okay, go ahead and say it. What's another one? That's amazing. Wow. I was just going to say that.
Wow.
Okay, you guys realize that's a big deal. What's that? Inheritance. So, for instance, when your parents eventually die, when my parents eventually die, then whatever they owned, right?
I get mine.
It's shared between me and my brother. I've got
unless
one brother.
Unless they have, like, a will.
Yeah, exactly.
But if whatever they have... If you die, I'll just take this.
Gets, exactly. You could have my pencil. So it gets shared between the children, right? Legally now. Well, do you guys remember in the New Testament what we actually are given inheritance. When we become children of God, it's very important. When we become children of God... Uh-oh. Only one warning. There's something under here. Who is called, who is, the phrase that's used in the Bible, the deposit of our inheritance. We receive something, and we become his child, and we say, yes, Jesus, live in my heart, adopt me as your child, and he comes in. We actually receive part of our inheritance, which we get in heaven, we get part of it now. Does anyone know what or who that is?
Can we move on?
That's not what we get. The Holy Spirit. So check this out. God cleans you up, pays your debt, brings you to his house, adopts you as his child, and gives you his spirit inside you, his own nature, and says, you're going to become like me now. I'm going to make you like me. You're going to look like me. You're going to grow a beard.
I'll shave it. I'll shave it.
I like it. Whatever.
You look like a woman man.
All right. Let's write down the next part here. It is the greatest honor in the world to be children of God. This, there is no other religion in the world that comes close to this. Nothing. It's not about, oh, you get to go to heaven. No, you get to come home. You guys heard what I said? It's not about going to heaven. You get to come home. To hang out with your father in heaven.
I want to go home now.
To be with all your brothers and sisters that are there. We come home. That's what's so cool about heaven. Gold? You're not going to care about the gold. You're not going to care about the gold. You're going to be like, I'm with my father. I'm with Jesus. I'm with my brothers and sisters.
I'm with gold.
Okay, so parents, next one. Parents represent what relationship with God could be like. So it's kind of like a picture that God gives us, a little bit of a taste of what he wants to be with us. It's a combination of great respect, but also great intimacy, closeness.
Because he's
awesome. And God the Father wants to have this relationship with us.
Wait. Yep.
Okay.
Wait.
Our earthly parents, next one. Our earthly parents are kind of just like foster parents. They're kind of like temporary parents. For the next 70 or 80 years or however long you live.
But mom actually gave birth to me.
Same!
Yep.
But I was born in Talek. So.
But, are they your real spiritual parents?
No!
No. God is your real father and he wants to adopt you back. And if you receive Jesus, like you're adopted. Even if you feel it or not.
Are you?
Yep.
Cool.
So every one of us is adopted in a way. You know?
I didn't know that.
Yep. Your mom, did you from a dad? I just found out today that I was adopted. And they'll be like, no, you weren't.
She never
told me. Oh, yes, I am. And then you could be like, what? And he'd be like, yeah, God the Father adopted me, isn't it? Oh, you've been learning some of that Bible stuff again.
Seriously.
One day you'll leave your parents, but God will always be your Father. So now, he becomes our Father when we invite him to be. And when we obey and follow him. Go for a second. Okay.
Wait.
I would like you to right now, don't say this out loud. Yeah, I left it to say after that. I would like you right now to write down what kind of parent God is to you. So don't say it. Just make little notes on your paper somewhere, little scribbles, and write down what kind of parent is God to you. It's almost like, what would a perfect parent be? Write down a few things that you can think about. What would God be like as a parent to you? And not even like, what would he be like to you? It's actually, what is he like? But do it quietly. Just privately by yourself. You won't have to share this. You don't want to. But don't write nothing. I'd like you to write down, what kind of parent is God? You know one thing that I think of when I think of a parent? Have you ever gone to your parent and try to describe something? You try to explain like, no, but I didn't do that and I didn't mean that. And it's like they don't really believe you or they're not sure and you're like, I didn't think that.
Yeah.
But God,
yeah.
But God knows you perfectly. And he knows exactly what you're thinking and exactly what happened. Like the way I describe that, God understands me. He actually understands.
That's what I just think.
Yeah, nice. That one for me. Anyway, keep writing down. What kind of parent is God? It's actually really important. Write down what kind of parent. Hands up for some ideas to help other people. Yeah?
When I get hurt, it's sort of walking away. He's just like, oh.
He cares for you. Yeah, cares for you. Slow to anger. Boy, don't put your hands up, okay? But, like, there are parents that are like, get angry quickly, you know? God's slow to anger. Another one. Yeah.
The best kind.
The best kind. He's perfect, okay? Yeah. God, can I give God Father the perfect parent because he goes? I don't think God goes to the bathroom.
Hey, I know what.
Okay, one more, and then I'll let you go. Yeah.
Rich in love.
What's that? Rich in love.
I like can I do one? Can I do one of mine?
Okay, fine.
No, school. He does not. We don't. We're
yeah,
perfect.
God would never train us or teach us anything.
Yeah,
well,
we have
teachers. Okay. Okay, that's a good. You guys hear that? He disciplines us. A good parent doesn't let you go. Hey, I've got a little girl. She's two, right? Do you guys know her name? Vivia. And she'll, like, if I let her go, she'll, like, run right across the road, you know? And, like, cars are coming like crazy. Look at me run, Daddy. I'm running. And I'm like, that's wonderful, but don't run there. And so if she's not listening, I've got to discipline her. Why? Because I'm, like, mad at her? No. Because I hate her? No. Because I love her and I don't want her to get hit by a truck. I'm like, so you've got to listen to me so you get hit by a truck. So a good parent disciplines us when they can see we're doing things that are going to be bad for us. And that's good. And they won't discipline us. Oh yeah. And they won't discipline us because they're angry at us. They discipline us.
Hey, I'm like you. I'm going one already.
Up here. Okay.
Okay, stop wasting time.
Okay, go ahead.
Like, one time, like, I was getting spanked, and I'm like, what are you doing this? And my dad's like, I love you. And I'm like, what?
One time?
You don't love me, Venus.
One time, my dad was going to give me a spank. And, like, my dad doesn't talk a lot, kind of thing, you know? And, anyway, so he's about to give me a spank. And I think he probably just quoted what my mom would have said, which is like, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you, right? And then I said, like, no, it's not. It's going to hurt me. It's not going to hurt you. And he was like, he didn't know what to say.
Okay,
next one. Matthew 3:17. I'd like you to look this up, please.
Get it.
Look it up.
I did.
It's my turn.
I got it.
You already read.
I'm doing it.
You're just letting me know.
You read it.
I know you got it. Matthew 3:17 is before John, right after Genesis. No, that's chicken.
Three!
Rosario's got it.
Oh, I got it.
Matthew 3:17. Okay, you know what? We need a little bit of just a stretch break. So, okay, real quick, grab one. Quick. It's coming by, and if you don't grab it fast, you don't get one.
Am I allowed to?
One.
She has two.
Bruce.
She accidentally grabbed
two. Eat them both.
Well, there are two.
She has two. Are you going to go
here? Yes, it's her.
Those are not hers.
Both are mine.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, her. Wow,
okay. That's
a six. You guys all got one?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to put one back?
There's another.
Oh, okay. So, thank you very much for being here.
Hey, what about me?
He got one.
You wasted up too, I guess.
Okay. Let's take a quick break before we get in, because the next part we're going to get into, actually we're going to start praying through some stuff and it's really serious. So, stand up. This last time, remember this? Get kind of where you can reach the person in front of you.
Oh, wait.
So stand up. Give a good back rub. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Stand up. Make a column. Make a row. Don't start yet. Just get so you got your hands on their shoulder. Everybody facing this way this time. This way. You have to get closer to you to get closer to them.
Whatever.
Oh, no, can you guys connect the... Connect. Walk forward. I've got your hands on the knees. Yep. There we go. Okay, give a nice back rub. Yeah. Nice shoulder rub. Get that circulation going. Yeah. Just dig right in there. Five more seconds. Okay, now turn around and return the favor. Whatever that favor was. Nice.
Return the favor, Angus.
Alright. Alright, three more seconds. Alright. Okay, you guys can grab a seat. Then we're gonna get in some serious stuff, okay?
Oh no! We're gonna die.
Hey guys,
what?
This is gonna be potty break and drink break. You got 2 minutes.
2 minutes to resume. 2 minutes.
Oh, you're so cute!
Just so that the room you can help us clean up on the way out, okay? Check under the floor, any garbage, okay? Put your hand up with a thumbs up if you can do that for me at the end, okay? Everybody got that?
Sure.
Okay. Now remember, I'm focused again here. Mr. Bruce is going to take us through the final section here, but we need you guys to be moving on.
No chatting on this one, guys, okay? This one's going to be really serious, and actually, like, we're going to get into some stuff and some praying through some things, and it's going to change you. And so this is not a time to be talking to anybody or distracting anybody, okay? Make sure you're focusing and listening to everything I'm saying, right? This is probably where I'm going to dish out as much prayer.
Oh, wait,
okay. So listen up real good, okay? So here we go. So Matthew 3:17. Can you read it? Nice enough. Nice enough. Well, so that's actually God the Father spoke out loud when Jesus baptized and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And there's something very important about that. God was pleased with Jesus before he did any ministry. He hadn't preached a single sermon. He hadn't done a single miracle. He hadn't gone on the cross. He hadn't done anything significant that we know of. And yet, what did the Father say about him?
"This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."
I love him, and he pleases me like crazy. And he hasn't done anything. God is pleased with us before we do anything significant. How many of you could say you feel that about your parents? Don't put your hand up. But how many of you feel like I did growing up, that they kind of liked me more, they loved me more if I did good things, if I made right choices, if I didn't do bad things, you know? Like, if you're like me, I kind of had that sense that the better I did, the more they loved me. Here's the thing. Next one. Earthly parents are not perfect. And unfortunately, our parents help us form a picture of what God is like. And I can even realize now, as the best parent I'm trying to be for my kids, I can see where I'm making mistakes and where I'm giving them a wrong picture of what God is like, because I'm just not perfect. So, here is where I'd like you to have to think about for a second. I'm going to ask you, and this is very important now that you engage with this, okay? But I'm going to ask you in a moment, I'm going to ask you, where do your parents make mistakes sometimes? Where are they not perfect? Where do they do things bad? Where do they go wrong? And some of you might not want to think about that, because you might be like, well, I don't want to disrespect them, so I don't want to talk about that. The problem is, if you don't talk about it, at least own up to it, you can't actually forgive them for it and actually start forming a proper picture of who God is. So I can say now before you that I love my parents. They're amazing. My dad is a great man. People would say that. But did he make mistakes? Absolutely. Yeah. I can tell you some of the mistakes that he made. But do I still love and respect him? 100%. Amazing man. I hope my kids didn't say that. So now here's some questions. Where do your parents fail sometimes? Where do they make mistakes? Yep.
When they're like...
I can come back to you. Is it okay? I'll come back to you. Yep.
Sometimes, like, me or my brothers stress out my mom, kind of, and then she goes to the end. When she's talking to the other kids, she kind of, like, gets something out of them.
Right. Yeah, takes out her own frustrations from somewhere else and takes them out on us. Totally. Been there. All of us have probably been there.
Yeah.
Yep. Start writing these things down. If it fits you, if this is like, yeah, my parent does that, write it down. Okay? Like, I want you to make a list. In fact, I want you to do this. We're going to have two columns here. So you're going to have a column of, like, here's the things they do wrong. They do wrong to us. Okay? Things they do wrong to us. And there'll be room for another column here. So this will have to be a lot longer, because you have room to write it. And then another room there. So anyway. Make a column and start writing these things down. If it fits you. Sorry. Who's next? Oh, you're on? Yeah, go for it.
Okay,
they get mad at the wrong guy, right? They get the wrong guy. And you're like, I didn't do that. And then they get mad at you, and you weren't going to do it because your brother, your sister, whatever. Mm-hmm. So they dish out punishment or make decisions wrongly sometimes. They get it wrong. Yeah. Again, write these things down if it fits. Yeah. Same thing. Okay, great. Where else do your parents screw up sometimes? But it's okay. We honor them, love them, respect them like crazy. What's important for us to start listening to
this? Yeah. Okay, this is a story.
Can we get short?
Like,
15 seconds.
We had this, box of soup, and it was so frozen that if you, put a cement with your finger on it, it would break. And my dad brought it up, and then it was broken. And it was broken when he brought it up, and he thought I broke it, right. Which I didn't, because I never did that.
They blame you for things you didn't do. Yeah. Okay, that's fine, yeah. Right. So they get angry and they do things they do things out of their anger that they regret afterwards. They're like, sorry I said that, or sorry I did that. So they let their anger get the better of them, you know? The Bible says, like, be angry and sin not. You know, like, you can be angry, but don't sin in it. They sin in their anger, you know? And you get the brunt of it. How many of you have had the brunt of your parents being angry? Absolutely. I mean, every one of us, I'm sure. Yeah. Anyone else? Different person who hasn't said anything. Yeah, you're still. Right, they almost like they accuse you or are suspicious of you, and you didn't even do anything yet. And you're like, well, how come I'm not? Where the Bible says love, like trusts always, forgives always, believes the best about people, and you're like, how come I always look like you're remembering the things in the past that I've already said sorry for, forgiven me for, but now you keep reminding me of those things. Yeah, so, like God doesn't do this. He doesn't remember our sin from the left to the right. Yeah, good. They say hurtful things, right? They mean they're trying to help, but they say hurtful things, okay? How many of you ever had your parents say hurtful things to you? If I ask the same question, how many of you have said hurtful things to people?
We all put our hands up. Yeah, I've done it too.
But it hurts extra when it comes from our parents. Because they're supposed to be caring for us and protecting us. They're not perfect. Okay, keep making the list now for yourself. Keep thinking of things, and some of this might be personal and private. Some of you might even have some pretty big stuff that your parents have, like, screwed up on. And some of them, they may not even, like, they may not even realize it or acknowledge it yet. So hands down for a bit. And I want you to take a moment, and I want you to list other things where your parents have actually done wrong to you, okay? It's really important. The more you do this, the more you're actually going to get freedom from this. And it's actually going to help your image of God.
What's the other side?
I'll get to that in a second. Just leave it to this. So I'll give you another minute or two to write down other areas where your parents have done wrong to you. Second column is going to be called It Made Me Feel. So in other words, how did it make you feel? So when your parents wrongly accused you of doing something that you didn't do, how did it make you feel? And part of it, you might say, it made me upset. But that's not really, that's not, you're upset, but why are you upset? You're upset because... What's that? Yeah, or not trusting. You know, they didn't trust me. Or they didn't believe me. Some of you, it might have made you feel unloved. Some of you might have made you feel uncared for. Unprotected. I'd like you to go down the list that you made, and beside each item, write down what each of those, when your parents did that, what did it make you feel like? What emotion did you feel when they did that? So beside each one of those now, you're going to have a feeling that you have when they did that. And angry, again, is not really... Try to go deeper than that. Why are you angry? Like, why? Well, because they didn't trust me. They thought I was, they said I was stupid, or whatever. Another 30 seconds, maybe. And then we're going to go through, and we're going to do something really powerful. And what do you think it's going to be? What are we going to do? Pray, and we're going to forgive them. When you forgive them and say, you know, they did that, and it made me feel like this, and I forgive them for it, it's going to set them free, set you free. And then we're going to ask God to reveal his own power to you. We got this guy staring at us the whole time.
It's kind of weird. His face is all
yeah, it's like creeping me out. He's looking at me. Yeah. Why is he looking at me?
It looks like
his finger pointing straight to me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Every one of us, right?
It's like saying,
yeah. He's like, yeah, I mean you. Yeah, you. Yeah.
It looks like he's actually saying you. 3D.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the next one now, so we'll get into praying in a second. The next one is, these things affect us and leave us with woundings to our hearts. Oh, I can think of even talking to my oldest daughter. She's 5 now, almost. Saying things like, oh, shoot, yeah, Kelsey, she's so sweet. And I'll get upset and I'll try to help her, and then I realize, I didn't help her at all. That just made me feel bad. Feel bad about it. Oh, she's gonna have to forgive me for that. And I'll go back and say, I'm so sorry, sweetie, that I didn't mean to cry. These things affect us and they leave us with woundings to our hearts. If you can deal with them now when you're young, you'll be much happier than if you left them to your later. These things affect us and leave us with woundings to our hearts. Next thing, we all have to adjust our picture of God to a perfect Father. God is not like your parents. I mean, he is with the good parts, you know. But he's not like your parents. We also need to look to our Heavenly Father in healing. There are many wounds that have been accidentally caused by our earthly parents. Okay, we have to adjust our picture of God. Jesus said one time, he said this. He often compared earthly parents to like God the parent, God the Father. He said, how many of you, your parent, if you asked them for a fish, would they give you like a stone? Or if you asked them for bread, would they give you like a snake? You know? And he said, of course they wouldn't. But he said, if your parents were evil, they're not perfect, he would give you good things, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you good things if you ask him? So now, here we go. Now we're going to walk through a process of forgiving our parents, blessing them, giving God our pain. There should be an O in front of this if you don't have one on your page. Our
pain. I have it.
We do. Okay, good. We have to walk through post of forgiving them, blessing them, giving God our pain, and letting him heal our hearts. I'm going to pray with you, and we're going to do that. Here's how this looks. We're just going to kind of like walk through this process, just like it says right there. So you go to that first list, that thing that you've got, on the first line, and then you're just going to keep doing this for anything else that kind of shows up, okay? I can't read this. So you're going to say that first thing, whatever it was, you know? And you're going to go like, dear God, when my parents did this to me, you know, it made me feel like this, and I forgive them. And then say, God, I ask you to forgive them for that. And then pray that God, would you bless them? You know, like, would you bless them? Like, first, if it's anger, God, would you bless them with, like, peace? Would you help them with their anger and that kind of stuff, you know? Okay? So we take the first line and say this out. So I guess, do you want me to write that down, or are you guys okay with that? Does that make sense?
Okay.
With how to pray this. That make sense? Okay, so right now, take your first line, and just between you and God, you're not talking to anybody, you and God, and you say, like, just pray now and say, dear God, when my parents did this, it made me feel like this, and I forgive them right now in Jesus' name. No, you're just kidding. Okay, so go ahead and do that right now, and just pray that. I'll say it one more time if you missed that. Dear God, when my parents did this, it made me feel like this. Describe it to God. And then forgive. And say, God, I forgive you. Okay? And then I want you to go through every single list, every single line on your list, and anything else that comes to mind. I'm going to give about 2 minutes here. Anything else that comes to mind right now, close your eyes and just begin to pray. Go through it and forgive them for anything that comes to mind. You forgive them yourself. Which means you're not going to hold them against them anymore. As I pray here, if you're still praying, just keep praying. Just kind of ignore that.
Father, they look every youngest here. God, you'd set their hearts free from where they've been wounded by their parents, where they've been distrusted, treated harshly, unbelievably, treated unjustly, unfairly, without love, in anger, discipline, unrighteousness. Where they believe the lie that now that you don't care for them, that you're like that. God, right now, we cut that lie in Jesus' name. That is not an image of who you are. That's a sinful parent trying their best. That is not who you are. You're perfect, and you love us perfectly. God, I ask you to set every heart free from that. And that spirit of fatherlessness that makes them try to feel like they're abandoned or they're on their own, or they're like an orphan and not really adopted, in Jesus' name, I ask that would be washed away from each heart. And that, God, they receive that spirit of adoption that makes them know inside that they truly are your child. That they're truly loved by you. That you love them immensely, care for them like crazy, like a good shepherd. I ask that this would go from their head to their heart. Okay, now this is the kicker. Whenever someone does something wrong, wow, that's a kicker. Whenever someone does something wrong to you, you know what I do? I forgive, and then I do this one thing that really almost like just cinches it. I then pray from the bottomest, deepest part of my heart that God would bless that person like crazy. So if someone, like, let's say, bugs you at school or steals something from you or lies about you or whatever, and you forgive them, then you start praying that, God, you bless that person. You show your favor to them. Would you help them with their school? Would you, like, just pray blessings? So right now, I'd like you to close your eyes and just pray that God would bless your parents like crazy. Like, pray the biggest, craziest, awesome prayer and blessing you've ever prayed in your life for your parents. That makes sense? Go for it. I'll give you, like, 30 seconds. Just pray the most outrageous, amazing prayer blessing on your parents you can think of.
that God would do. Go for it. Last thing. Last thing for today. We're not going to look it up because we already...
I already have it looked up.
All of you need to look it up because we're going to actually go through it together. So go ahead. And we're not going to read it. No one's going to read it out loud. Everybody's going to go through it. Everybody. So make sure you turn to Matthew 6. You guys are already like flipping ahead to all these things that we're talking, right?
No.
You got all of them already like thumbnailed and stuff.
Because, like, it's way back here. So, like, I'll just flip to this page.
Don't you love when you turn it open and it lands right where you're looking?
That's awesome. Yeah, it's so awesome. Like, yes! I closed it and then it went to the page I went back.
I still have mine on the page.
Who wants to read John 3:16?
All right, so we're going to pray a little bit. And we're going to practice praying. Do you guys remember the last time that I taught... And we kind of did this with Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd.
Yeah.
And we kind of went through it verse by verse, and then whatever stuck out to you, you kind of thought about that or prayed about that. So we're going to do that with the Lord's Prayer. Okay, this is the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Question? You already did? Oh, cool. Okay. I often go to this prayer, actually, and the shepherd's like Psalm 23, and I'll often pray through those myself. And I think about them. Like a few days ago, I was doing Psalm 23. It was really amazing.
I have a bookmark on Psalm 23.
So write this down. The Lord's Prayer gives us some great examples of how to engage with God in prayer. For example, let's start here. Our Father in heaven. So write that down on your line. So right, go back here. The very first line. Examples. Okay.
Next one, please.
Okay. So right now, this is where prayer gets fun. You get to right now, in a moment, you're gonna close your eyes and you're gonna ask God, say, Father, what do you think about me? And if you have trouble hearing an answer for that, change it up and go, God, if you could play any game with me, what would it be? That's pretty funny. And think what comes to say, the first thing that comes to mind, write that down. This would be pretty fun. In fact, actually, you guys want to do that? Let's try it, right? Okay. So you're not going to think, you're not going to like filter, that was me, that was just the first thing that pops in your head. So I want you to pray and just say, God, if you could play any game with me, what would it be? So go ahead and pray that right now in your hearts. Shh, don't say it loud. Just keep your phone. And now, after you have that game that comes to mind, now ask this. What? As in, like, God, why would you want to play that game? Struggle because it'd be like, oh, I didn't hear anything, or I think I did, but that was just my own brain, stuff like that. Yeah, and that's just actually just be like, no, just first thought that comes in, just trust it, ask the Lord.
That's what I think.
Yeah. So, who would like to share, hand up, with a game that came to mind? Yeah, Kel?
Basketball, because it's my favorite sport.
Okay, so let's play with you because it's your favorite sport. Yeah, awesome. What else have we got? Actually, what else is not taught yet? Very much.
Game life, because it sort of seems like you're actually playing real life.
Alright, cool. Yeah, what's the name again?
Caleb Cole.
Cole is no.
Cole.
Caleb. Yeah. Bingo and what?
It's like
you start. Oh, so you can always start again. Always a fresh start. Every time it's a fresh start.
And,
cool.
And when you get to the end, you You have to try it again. Yeah, we win something, try it again. Sweet. And so many people. What was that? What's that? Okay. And why? And why was it? Remember, guys, when you're talking, you want everybody else to hear, right? Same kind of thing. A lot of people like the idea of a fresh start. You screw up, but you get to start again. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh. Neat. Cool. All right. Okay. Go ahead.
Minecraft.
Wow. So kind of get to kind of do things like God, like creating type thing, you know? Cool. You put your hands down and we probably go around with pretty awesome stuff, right? Okay. So now, I want you to ask God this time, and this can be asked a number of times. He can tell you a number of things. But in your heart, ask Him and say, you know, Heavenly Father, what do you think of this? Close your eyes. Go ahead and pray that. Heavenly Father, what do you think of Or you can pray, what do you want to say? If there's one thing you could say to me, what would you say to me? You know? And just ask these kind of questions. If you don't get an answer, ask a different question. Here's one you can have fun with. God, if you could take me anywhere, we could go anywhere together, where would that be? Where would you want to take me? You pray, you ask Him. And then again, ask Him why, right? Ask Him why. Why there? Someone that didn't share on the first round of questions for the game one, but you kind of feel like to share this one, so I didn't ask you last time. Yeah,
I asked where you take me.
Yeah.
Kenya.
Yeah.
To help people.
To help people. Cool. Yeah. Thanks. Interesting. So you can always ask more, even like, what? What is it about the garden? You ask more and more deeper questions. Yeah.
I asked him where would I go,
yeah.
And he said Disneyland because I've been wanting to go there for a long time. I've never gone there.
Yeah.
I had two thoughts, but my first one was Disneyland, and my second one was London. So I maybe could see it.
Did you ask him why? What do you think of me, or anything like that?
I did.
Okay. Yeah. If you don't want to share, that's fine. Yeah, but the first one, I totally accept. Yeah. Sure. And then did you ask him what he thinks of you? Did you ask him what he thinks of you?
So what do you want to say to you?
I don't want to share that knowledge.
Yeah, and? Anyone ask about what do you think of me or what do you want to say to me? You can ask him that one. If you haven't, go ahead and ask that. And this will be private. It's for you. God, what do you want to say to me? Or God, what do you think of me? I'll do that in my prayer time sometimes. Okay. Next verse in the Lord's Prayer. In fact, I'm going to let you take the Lord's Prayer that you've got open now, and I'd like you just to go through it line by line on your own, like we did when we prayed through the Psalm 23. And if anything sticks out to you while we're going through it, then just pray about that or ask questions or whatever.
Read what?
So once again, go to your... What scripture was that at? Matthew 6:5-13. I'd like you to go through it like we did the last time with the Psalm 23. And just go through it and just line by line right now, anything that jumps out to you or sticks out to you, and just pray it privately, okay? So there's no talking, it's just you and God and your Bible. And we'll give you a few minutes to do that. And we'll give you a few minutes to do that. And then we'll close it up. Okay, you know what we'll do? Part of the take-home challenge is actually doing exactly what you're doing. So for now, let's just go through this and write down these things, okay? So we'll go through this pretty quickly for the Lord's Prayer, and this will help you do the take-home challenge, okay? So hallowed be your name. Write that one down if you... Looks like you already got that one. Next one, your kingdom come, your will be done. That's all right. So remember, this is kind of a key guiding point, you know, when you're going through that verse, your kingdom come, your will be done, basically mean this is about you, not me. I give you lordship, control, guide me, lead me by the Holy Spirit, produce good fruit in me, etc. These will be cues for you to help you pray through the Lord's Prayer if you need them, okay? Etc. means and so on and so on, or like the same, etc. Okay, next one. Give us this daily bread. So God means provide for my needs, help me help my friends, give me everything I need, spiritually, physically, emotionally, everything. Provide for all of us. Okay, so give us this day. Next one, forgive us our debts or our sins. And this is where you can basically be like, God, what things do you want to bring to mind that I need to ask you for forgiveness? Do I need to forgive some people? Or what do I need to change? Next one. As we forgive our debtors, right? We forgive those who sin against us. Remember, Jesus said, if you won't forgive others, then neither my Father in heaven forgive you. Be serious about it. So it's not an option. We follow the same pattern with our parents. I give my bitterness, anger, hurt, and I bless them instead. How often are we supposed to forgive people? Jesus answered that. 70 times 7.
What is that?
490 times. In other words, forever. Like, just however many. If they do something, the same thing to you 490 times,
70 times
you still forgive them.
I've already done that.
Okay. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And here's some questions to ask. How does he deliver us from the devil? And what is our enemy's weapon? Okay, and last one, I think. Lies. So the answer you can write down there, lies.
And then there are two more.
Last one, or a second last one? Pinocchio.
Pinocchio.
Where did that come up from?
He delivers us with the truth.
Nailed it.
Delivers us with the truth.
That's the last one.
And is that it? So, time to fill in for your assignment. If you look at your week 6 assignments now, if you turn there.
Psalms 23, yes, I read it every day.
Okay, I'll just make sure you understand them. Read the following chapters and highlight verses that stand out to you and write your favorite one here. So Psalm 23, which is the shepherd.
Lord, shepherd. Are we supposed to do this at home?
Lord, my shepherd.
Can I read it now?
And Psalm 145. And then the challenge, shut yourself in a room. It's so fun. Where you have some privacy and practice praying for each area of the Lord's Prayer. And Pastor Jeff actually printed a nice copy for each of you to actually have. A beautiful copy. You can put this up in your room somewhere if you want.
So what are we doing?
Beautiful copy. You can pin it up.
What are we doing?
So it says there, if you read the challenge, it says pray through each part of the Lord's Prayer. Just like we started in the new year.
Okay. I didn't get to say our daily bread.